Okay, we're still doing Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Dalet. That's chapter 13, verse 4. So now we're just getting into the verse, because the verse talks about a diligent person versus the soul of a charutz. Okay? So if a diligent person is a person that cannot enjoy life, he reaches a point that he can't enjoy life, Then if he has the soul of a charutz, and he has a teacher to guide him, being able to, in other words, by evaluating the consequences and the lifestyle that he has, that he can't operate, you see, and he can't enjoy life. So he has to keep evaluating all the different aspects of that type of life to be able to change. Okay? I just want to add one more point. There's another soul of a charutz that is different than the one we mentioned. And that is that a person first starting out and doesn't want to undo a particular area, but he wants to learn the ideas of Mishle, so he cannot do it on his own, and he can't go beneath the surface. So even that is the soul of a charutz. A soul of charutz means a person that desires to really act correctly and think correctly, and to make good decisions, but he can't do it on his own. So some people work in a particular area, and they go to the teacher to help them to work out a particular area. Certain people work to learn to how to become a person that is a charutz, that can abstract the ideas themselves, but they must start with a teacher. We're now in Mishle, chapter 24. Verse 30 through 34, inclusive. So the translation of the verses from 30 to 34 is like this. I passed by the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man who lacks understanding. Behold, it was all overgrown with thorns and nettles. Nettles had covered its surface, and the stones of its fence were broken down. And I saw, and I applied my mind. I saw, and I learned a lesson. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down, and your poverty will come like a traveler, and your loss like an armed man. That is the verse. Those are the verses. They're all connected, all these verses. But now we're going to go over each one at a time. And the first one is 30. I passed by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man who lacks understanding. All right, so the question on the first one, on the first verse, is I passed the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man who lacks understanding. So the question is, what's the difference between a lazy man and a man who lacks understanding? Okay? So we have clear what a lazy man is, and who lacks understanding means he doesn't understand the ideas of Mishle. In other words, he does not know the ideas of consequence and paying and evaluating the consequences. He's not aware of that. Okay, we are not giving an exact definition of a person who lacks understanding. The verse doesn't seem to lend itself to a definition. But the only thing is, superficially, that's what it means. And therefore, since he doesn't have this, so the lazy man can't get out of it. In other words, if the lazy man had this knowledge, he would work on his laziness on his own. So the thing is, the lazy man cannot work on it on his own, so therefore King Solomon has to help him deal with it, or teach him how to deal with it. Verse 31 says, behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, nettles had covered its surface, and the stones of its fence were broken down. So there's three components in the verse. So the question is it just giving three examples, or is there some connection between these three components? Okay? So the Meiri wants to say that there's a sequence of events. The first sequence is you see thorns. Okay? And then the next thing you know, nettles had covered its surface. In other words, if he saw thorns, I mean, like many times you see weeds, so you pull it out. But if you don't pull the weeds out, then the weeds will cover everything. Okay? And the stones of the fence were broken down. Stones, fence is a man-made thing. It was the infrastructure. After a while, if you don't take care of it, these things get overgrown, and the infrastructure starts breaking down. Those are the three stages of if you don't take care of your field, then it breaks down. Verse 32. And I saw and I applied my mind. I saw and I learned the lesson. Okay. So the questions of 32 are, the question is, what's the difference between I applied my mind and I learned the lesson? And then he says, I saw. What do you mean? I saw. Let him just say, I applied my mind and I learned the lesson. Why does he have to introduce them both with I saw? Okay? Right. So the answer to the first question is, applying my mind means that I decided to think about something. In other words, I say, let's study a certain subject. So we're going to apply our mind to that subject. Then when we apply our mind to that subject, we get something out of it. You see? So then I learned the lesson. Okay. So that is, and I applied my mind. I decided to think about this and to analyze it. And then I learned the lesson, and the lesson that I learned will be in 33 and 34. Okay? So but the question is, what did I saw? What does it mean, I saw? I saw means that I'm comparing myself to other people seeing. Some people see, and like, for instance, they'll just give a moral decision. In other words, what they do is they say a value system, this guy is stupid. I mean, well, he's stupid. But the intelligent guy goes beneath the surface and tries to understand what's the cause of the mistake. Okay? This is really like an example of what we said earlier, that Orum. Orum means cunning, going beneath the surface. Okay? So he goes beneath the surface. So he's comparing the way other people, when they see things, they just give a value judgment. But he says, no, I don't know about the value judgment. I'm curious about what the cause is. Okay. So he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down. And 34 is, and your poverty will come like a traveler and you're lost like an armed man. Question in 33 is simply, what does he mean about 33? He's saying a little sleep, what is he getting at? And he says three things. Is this three examples, or are they connected? You know, what is he getting at? Okay, that's 33. It's not even clear what he's getting at. 34, on the other hand, says, and your poverty will come like a traveler. What does that mean? He's comparing poverty coming like a traveler. Traveler is a metaphor. We'll have to interpret the traveler. And then, and you're lost like an armed man, is the same problem. What does he mean, like an armed man? And what is the difference? Yeah, that's it. So in 33, we want to say that it's three different types of acts of laziness. First, you take a sleep, you know? And you notice he says a little sleep. That's what the lazy man says. Oh, Molly, I need a little sleep. You know, lazy man says, I need a little sleep. Then he says, well, a little slumber. You know, I need an afternoon nap. I need a little relaxation. You understand? I'll fold my hands and relax. So the thing is that the three, like, he always says it's a little. But really, it's a long time. He's faking himself out. In other words, the verse is talking about the way he does things, the way he does not do things, and says that he has to do it, and he takes too much until he doesn't do the work. So that's the cover up. That is the cover up of the. That's the way the lazy man operates. He covers up. And then what happens? When you start doing that, 34 happens. Okay? So the question is, first question that we have to deal with, and your poverty will come like a traveler. Question is, what does that mean? Now, when a traveler is traveling, all you know is that he's not there. And suddenly, when he comes, he's suddenly at your door. Okay? That's the way poverty comes. Really, poverty comes very slowly. It's not all of a sudden you lose everything. But the thing is that, let's say, for instance, you inherited the land from your father and it's all worked out and it's all worked. You don't lose it overnight. You don't notice. There's a few weeds that you didn't take care of and this you didn't take care of. And you sleep too much and you don't take care of this detail. It's not slowly showing, and you don't notice it till suddenly you are poor. In other words, it's also like, for instance, diseases. The reason why, as many times we see the symptom, by the time we notice the symptom, really the disease was growing a long time. That's why we go to doctors for checkups to see if there's anything there that the symptom didn't show yet. That's the way poverty goes. The symptom, you don't see it. You don't notice it. You're just lazy, and you have what you need, and suddenly you have nothing. That is the metaphor of the traveler. And you're lost like an armed man. An armed man is going to fight. He's a warrior. He's going to fight. So the thing is that he fights. He's fighting to keep his poverty against all reality, he's fighting to keep his laziness against all reality, and therefore he sticks in his laziness, and keeps his poverty. Okay, to summarize all these verses, I think there are two ideas that we get out of it. One idea is that this is a good example of how Mishle or Proverbs works. We don't look for a value system, but we look for a logical sequence that must happen. Either we start from where I'm going, like a Chacham would think now, or I see the results and I abstract the results, but I only see the sequence. When I'm starting out, so I say, is it good to be lazy or not too good to be lazy? And I look at the lazy man and I learn my lesson. Or if I'm a lazy man, so then, or if I see the results, so then I could work backwards to what the cause was. So it's only logical sequences, logical steps. Each one is a logical step. He does not draw a value system. Or a moral system, or an ethical system. He only shows the consequences of your actions. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that the first step for a person to cure himself is that he has to see his faults, and here we're showing him in general what his fault is. Reality has failed, and then you're sleeping too much, but you're excusing yourself. You find excuses for your laziness, And then when the poverty comes, you refuse to give in to reality and you try to deny reality. Those are the problems that you must face before you could cure yourself. We are doing chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. And we'll read them all at once and then come back to analyze it. Go to the ant, you lazy person. See its ways and become wise. That there is neither officer nor god nor ruler over it. yet it prepares its food in the summer and gathers its food in the harvest season. How long, O lazy person, will you lie down? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down, and your poverty will depart like a traveler, and your deficiency like an armed man. Verse 6, go to the ant, you lazy person. See its ways and become wise. There are two questions. One is the opposite of lazy is a charutz, diligent. He says over here the opposite is wise. And the other thing, why does he say go to the ant? What are we learning from the ant? Okay? So we see here very different than the rest of the world. Most of the world holds that the opposite of laziness is force yourself to act. We say the opposite of laziness is wisdom. The wisdom will cause you to act. You must have wisdom. Okay? You don't have to force yourself. If you have the wisdom, you will act. You will act. Okay? So, okay, that's the difference. That's why it says you will become wise. What about the ant? Why does it mention the ant? Okay, the ant naturally does that which is correct for the ant, okay? So what I think he's saying is that we naturally would do correctly what is good for us. But the only reason why we don't do it is because of certain emotions, like we showed in the earlier verses, the reason, what the emotion that stops the lazy person, okay? So he needs the wisdom to overcome that false view of life, of the lazy person, so that naturally he will live the correct life. Verse 7, that there is neither officer nor god nor ruler over it. The question is, why does he emphasize that there's no leader? There's three examples of a leader, somebody that leads you or guards you, control, you know, that tells you what to do. Why does it say, well, what is this verse teaching us? The answer is that a person should know what to do correctly. Even if he's working in a group, he should always know what is the correct act for him to do, and the decision should always be made because he sees the truth and value of doing the correct act. Or he sees the consequences of not doing the correct act. Or the consequences of seeing the wrong act. So he naturally must see it, not because somebody is over him. That is what you must, that is where you must go to become a chacham, where you're an independent thinker. Yet, verse 8, yet it prepares its food in the summer and gathers its food in the harvest season. Verse 8 is only telling you, if you are a chacham, you will know when to prepare your food, you will know when to gather it, you will know when to do anything without anybody telling you what to do. You will work it out in your own mind. Okay. Verse 9, how long, O lazy person, will you lie down? When will you rise from your sleep? Before we explain 9, the last three verses point to a certain thing. He says to the lazy person, go to the ant, see its ways and become wise. In other words, he's telling him what to do. If you remember in the last few verses that we got read, we were telling you the lazy person what is his faults. Now, after he recognizes that he's wrong, then he wants a way out. So we tell him the way out. The way out is to become wise, and so wise that you become an independent thinker, that you see the ideas yourself. Okay, even if somebody tells you the ideas, even if you're even if you have the soul of a charutz, to do that. When you can't do it on your own, but when he tells you the ideas, you see it on your own. You must see it on your own. If it's not, it's just him telling you. It's an authority telling you. But the thing is that you must see it on your own. That's what he's saying. Okay? That is part of the cure. That is part of the cure. Now the question is, so what is 9 doing here? It's like, it looks like he's putting him down again. How long, O lazy person, will you lie down? When will you rise from your sleep? You know what I mean? Like he's telling him, why are you doing bad? Seems to be going back to the other verses. That's the problem. When you ask the question, how long, O lazy person, will you lie down? That means in other words, he's saying, how long? In other words, you have to have a plan how long you're going to lie down. The lazy person just lies down, and that's it, forgets about it. He just lies down and forgets about it. Okay? And he says, when will you rise from your sleep? That's a plan. You must have a plan from when you lie down to the time you get up, how much of the sleep you need. That's what he's saying. That's how, in other words, you never evaluated what you're doing. You must evaluate your excuses. The excuse itself you must evaluate. And how should you evaluate it? That's verse 10. You do need a little sleep. You do need a little nap in the afternoon. You do need a little relaxation, a little folding of the hands to lie down. But the thing is that it must be evaluated how much you exactly need. How much does the body need? And maybe even psychologically how much you need. But however, it shouldn't just be left to chance. I'm just going to lie down. Whenever I wake up, I'll wake up. Okay? Now you'll notice that the verse 10 and 11 is exactly the same words that it was in the last group of sentences. But here, because the framework is different, so the understanding of the verse is different. And by the way, this is the explanation. That's the way the Ralbag learns it. That he changes the interpretation. In verse 11 says, "And your poverty will depart like a traveler, and your deficiency like an armed man." The Hebrew is exactly the same as in the other one, but however, we change the translation slightly to fit into this framework. Okay? And so, and your poverty will depart like a traveler. Question is, what does it mean? In this verse, when we say, and your poverty will depart like a traveler, we're talking in the framework of the traveler, not the person that receives the traveler. The traveler goes step by step by step. Your poverty will not disappear overnight. It's a process. You have to start from scratch, and you have to build up slowly. It's a step by step process. If you expect overnight results, that's the view of the lazy person, because he doesn't want to work, so he does one thing. He expects immediate results. If he doesn't get immediate results, he has to quit. We're telling you, you have to recognize that in reality, you must go step by step by step. Okay? So in the first one, we're going from the view of the person that suddenly sees the traveler. And over here, we're talking about the traveler. And your deficiency like an armed man. Okay? By the deficiency, what is your deficiency? Your deficiency is that you're lazy, okay? So even though you see clearly the idea, it doesn't change overnight, but it takes time step by step that you're going to have to keep fighting the emotion. It takes time to fight the emotion, and the emotion is going to be a battle, and you must be prepared for that battle. You have to be like an armed man, but this time to fight against the laziness. In the first group of verses, there the laziness was fighting against reality, but here reality, the wisdom that you have, must be used to fight against the laziness, and there will be a battle. And there will be a conflict. What the overall picture here is that the opposite of laziness is wisdom, okay? And wisdom means that you must, it takes time. First you must get the wisdom, you must think it through, and then you have to have a plan. And you must be aware that there's going to be a battle. Don't think it's just going to go easy. And the results are going to come slow. It's a process. There's a process from success to failure. There's a process from being nothing down at the bottom to working to the top. It comes as a whole process. And that is wisdom. In other words, wisdom recognizes reality and works like reality. Reality works through steps. It's not overnight. Things don't happen overnight. It must be a step-by-step process.